Midday 180 queued up by Headley's Barbecue. Joined by Austin Price of FallQuest.com. Time to get the very latest on Tennessee athletics and much more. Austin, hope you're doing well this afternoon.
I'm doing great, guys. You know, I mean, it's a little bit steamy outside, but I mean, other than that, everything's going well.
Hey, Tennessee continues to be transparent with the COVID testing results. What is the latest as of today?
Still very, you know, same as it was last time we talked. I mean,
that's,
you know,
good.
Tennessee's, you know, to this point, but I don't know that they've got all the testing results back though. I mean, I know that as of yesterday, coaches were still not back in the office. I know Coach Pruitt had some obligations, you know, that he does every summer for Vol Network when they, you know, tape the local affiliate, you know, liners and ISOs and stuff, or you know, they get together with the main sponsors of the Vol Network, and you know, he cuts commercial spots and stuff. I know he's in town to do that, but I know as of yesterday, the assistant coaches were still not back on campus because the test results weren't back. I'm yet to hear today whether they're actually back over on campus or not.
I was reading the War Room where it spelled out that some schools across the Power Five conferences, what's next to determine is if we're going to see cutting sports at some of these schools and how it's not out of the question. I'm curious if you foresee anything like that on the horizon at Tennessee or in the top SEC upper echelon of the conference schools.
I mean, I know that nobody wants to go that route, but at the same time, if there is no football and there is, you know, no fall sports and no, you know, money to be generated, then I think, you know, something ends up, you know, falling by the wayside. And so I know that some of the smaller sports, the coaches and people, you know, involved in those sports, they're a little bit nervous, as they probably should be. I mean, you know, especially smaller sports that cost a lot of money, you know, to produce. You have some small sports that, you know, don't have a ton of overhead, but there's certain sports that I think have more overhead than others. So I think that some of those coaches are a little bit nervous, you know, and they're hoping and hopeful for football. You know, so, you know, I do think that it's something where at the Power Five level, you know, nobody wants to go that route, but some may be forced to.
Austin Price is with VolQuest.com. He joins us for the VolQuest Report. Tennessee has promoted Ashley Smith to head up the VFL program. She's Trey Smith's older sister. She fills the void left when Mickey Allen became the AD at TSU. And it seems like everyone expected this. What are some examples for why Fulmer and Pruitt are high on her with this promotion?
Well, I think Ashley does a really good job, you know, from her time at the NCAA, then when she first started out in football, then she went over to the academic side of things on campus, and then now back. She does a really good job with people and got an infectious personality, very smart, very driven, but just gets it. You know, gets the overall landscape, you know, just kind of can see things materializing and has good ideas. So I know Coach Pruitt's been extremely high on her for quite a while, even after she, you know, went over to the academic side of things. And then, you know, Coach Fulmer also sees her as a real asset. And so I think it was important for both Coach Pruitt and Coach Fulmer to get her back over in the football area, and once Mickey left to go to TSU, which was a great hire by TSU, I think it just made a ton of sense, and this is something that Coach Pruitt's been hoping would happen for a while, and they finally got to push through, and, you know, I think it probably would have happened, you know, 3 or 4 months ago had COVID not hit, and then they kind of gotten, you know, a little bit of a, you know, weird spot there with hiring and that type of thing, but they finally got to push through, and I know they're excited about what she can get done.
Austin, Paul and I were earlier discussing if the SEC, if the Big 12 follow suit and they go to 10 conference games and try to stay uniform with that, like the Big 10 is doing, what logically makes sense? How would Tennessee get 10 conference games on the schedule or any SEC school?
Well, I'm interested to see if they go to 10 or they just go to 9. I mean, the Big 12 can only play 9 because they only have 10 schools. You know, so in what world does it make sense for them to get, you know, in this league where it's already tough enough, You know, do they say, hey, you know, we've been wanting to play nine for a while anyways, or a portion of the coaches have. You know, we're just going to go nine because that's the most that the Big 12 can play. And you know, we're going to play nine games. If that happens, then I think what makes the most logical sense is to bring onto the schedule whatever game you had set for next year. So in Tennessee's case, it would be Ole Miss. I know in Tennessee's mind, if that happens, that would be ideal because for years it's always seemed like the schedules worked against them. But Tennessee's had a good year, 2016, so to speak. They had to go to Texas A&M amongst having to play Alabama every year, Georgia, Florida. Or the years that Tennessee played some of the teams that are not as deep and not as talented as the Auburn, LSU, Texas A&M, Alabama, those years – you know, those schools had really uptick years. You know, Mississippi State was really good when Tennessee played down there last. Ole Miss, Dexter McCluster went off on them in 2009, so on and so forth. So I think Tennessee would love if that was the case, if Ole Miss, next year's opponent, just got shifted into a nine-game schedule this year. If they go 10, I think you would just have to kind of do a blind draw on who gets added to the schedule from the West because, hey, listen, I think when you do that, you've already got Alabama on the schedule. If you add two more, I mean, who's to say you don't got LSU and Auburn? I mean, like, you know what I mean? Like, I think that's who – I think Georgia's next year opponent would be LSU, I believe. I'd have to look, but I think it's LSU. And if that's the case, then they would really take a huge hit by doing what I said a minute ago because all of a sudden they would have Alabama this year. They would bring on LSU for next year, and they already play Auburn, not to mention Tennessee, Florida, and the rest of the East. I mean, that's tough.
Yes, it is. Austin Price.
All the more reason to play nine.
Yeah, nine makes sense based on that logic. You're right. I'm curious, Austin, from the recruiting calls you're making and decisions being made state by state for high school football this fall, if some states determine, you know what, there is no high school football season in 2020, how does a prospect get exposure? What do you think happens in that scenario?
Well, I think they're going to leave the state they're in. I mean, I think if you're a Power 5 guy who really needed his senior year to really kind of go boom, you didn't get the camp season, you didn't get, you know, getting to go to Rivals or camp or you know, the opening or any of that stuff. You didn't get any of that this summer. Then you don't get the on-campus stuff. So you get to go camp at Georgia or Alabama or Tennessee or wherever. You didn't get that. I think you'd have to look at maybe going out of state. I think a state like North Carolina, if they don't play, some of the better players in that state may elect to go and play in another state, whether it be Virginia or South Carolina or come here to Tennessee or Georgia, other states that may play high school football. I think it will be really interesting to see who defects if that happens. Same thing if you're, you know, if the TSSAA said, hey, we're going to play, you know, seven regular season games, who's to say that Georgia's high school teams aren't coming in to Chattanooga saying, hey, come play a full slate of schedule down here. You know, that's going to happen. And so I think it behooves everybody to, you know, if you're going to play the full allotment. Otherwise, I think it could get used against some of the high schools and some of the kids could get cherry picked.
I'm trying to imagine the high school recruiting that's going to take place across state lines for that.
I mean, I think it's, you know, something you definitely have to think about, you know, especially and more so with the states that may not play. I mean, the thing I brought up about Georgia, North Georgia teams coming into Chattanooga, that's probably the extreme because most of those kids are going to stay loyal. They know they're going to get, you know, X amount of games. But, like, if you're a school, if you're a high school, you know, in a state that's not open, Jonathan, I think that, you know, you have to really think long and hard about people coming in there and taking your players, even if they're not necessarily seniors. Maybe they could come in there and take juniors and say, hey, just come play over here both years.
And you're going to have some three-star kids left behind who are just going to – and that makes recruiting. I mean, you know, did somebody catch your eye last year who, you know, you're going to base things on? And scouting and recruiting are more valued. You know, I was talking to John Robinson about this earlier, you know, for their undrafted rookies – If they've got no preseason, they're really circling back and banking on their scouting of them coming out of college if they're not going to see them in game situations. And you got similar stuff in recruiting, I imagine.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I mean, a lot of it's based off of your ability to evaluate and kind of project. And that happens whether it be at the NFL level where they're trying to take a guy that was undrafted and then turn him into, you know, a special teams player his first couple of years and then develop him into even something better down the line. Or even at the college level when they're sitting there watching, you know, film. And I think that's what, you know, this staff has done a really nice job of here is they don't ever go on what Rivals or 24/7 or ESPN has, you know, kids ranked. They do their own evaluation. You know, sometimes it matches up to what, you know, the kids are ranked. Sometimes it doesn't. And so I think that they're very confident in their ability to evaluate, project, and kind of see what a kid can be before he becomes that player. And they think they can, you know, take those kids and mold them and turn them into things. So, yeah, evaluations and scouting is just as important as anything that goes on.
What's been the talk there in Knoxville about the upcoming meeting for the ADs that takes place on Monday? What are the expectations from you and Brent and everyone at VolQuest?
Well, I think that, you know, they're going to talk about a number of different topics, including, you know, conference-only games. I think they're going to, you know, they would love to kick the can down the road as far as they can kick it, you know, without having to go that route. But, you know, with the Big Ten kind of being that first domino that falls, and then you've seen other dominoes since then. You know, it's something that I think the SEC definitely has to at least talk about. They'll talk about that. I think they're going to also talk about, you know, logistically, you know, if they had to move to spring, how would they do it? What would it look like? And how would you protect the student athletes for what would be a double duty in 2021 playing basically 2 years of your eligibility in a, you know, 12-month span?
Austin Price, follow him on Twitter at Austin Priceless. The VolQuest report twice a week here on the show. Austin, appreciate it, man. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you.
Yep, Austin Price with a good update there. Always joining us at the first and end of the week when possible.